couple of months ago, he and I were praying, and I inquired as to kind of how he wanted the services to go. And he knows that I enjoy teaching as much as he does. I believe it's a very important part of the church. And he and I began to discuss some subject matter. And so I said, well, why don't we just have a revival where there's preaching, there's teaching, there's conference subjects, there's interaction with the folks. And so that's what we're going to do. So tonight is going to be a little bit different. And even the subject matter is going to be a little bit different. So I want some interaction from you. I want to see what your thoughts are concerning this subject. This has turned out to be my wife's, after 46 years, July the 8th will be 46 years for us that we've been married. And after 46 years, this is one of her most favorite messages that I've ever preached. She's my biggest fan. So what we're going to talk about tonight is UFOs. All right, I got some good feedback already, so that's awesome. I guess we're headed in the right direction. I'll wait to read my text. And how many of you know that the Bible has the answer for every question that we have? You can go to the unadulterated Word of God, and it doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter the situation that you're facing. It doesn't matter how new or how old or how long that you've been facing. God's Word has the answer. And I'm the kind of guy that, you know, I try to keep abreast of current events. And so when current events start happening and I begin to dig into the Word of the Lord and see what I can find out, what the Bible has to say about it. And so, you know, we all know that there's a renewed interest in UFOs and aliens and terrestrials and so on and so forth. So do we believe in them or do we not? I really do believe that some of the sightings, and I'm sure that you've seen some of the most recent ones that the military has gotten on their the jets that have been flying and come picking up on radar, and then other phenomenon that individuals have seen. I mean, you can't doubt it. I believe that it's real. But as a child of God, how do we reconcile all of that? And how does it fit in with our everyday lives? I'll just give you, from my point of view, I do not believe that there's other life forms. You know, as a Christian and as a creationist, we believe that everything that is here upon the face of this earth has been created by Almighty God. And obviously some of it has turned to evil, and even man has sinned and disregarded his heavenly Father, and we have become something that certainly God never intended for us to become. And so when you really look at it, besides the earth, the creation, the space, and the heavens, and the fish, the beast of the field, and the fowl of the air, there's really only two entities that God created that has a personality, that is a real person. And a person is somebody that has mind, will, and emotion. And so we know that the only two entities that God created with mind, will, and emotion are the angels and we human beings. Now, we are the only two entities, and we have fallen. So at the creation, the angels were actually created before we were, because the Bible talks about over in Job, where the morning stars and the sons of God at the creation, they rejoiced and they sang. So they were created before man was, and then man was created. Another real building block of your and my identity and our existence is not only our creation, but Calvary, redemption, and salvation. When Almighty God, before the foundation of the world, had this plan where Jesus was going to come and he was going to surrender his life and pay the price, ultimate price, for your and my sins. Do you realize that even in the crucifixion and the plan of salvation, that only man and angels are alluded to? There is a very interesting passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews. So get your Bibles out and let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 2. And I'm just trying to lay a foundation here. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 16. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. Everybody have it? For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Now, notice in that verse that him the nature of, and then later on him the seed of, that it's italicized. And you know that any word that is italicized in our Bibles is not in the original, but it's been supplied by the translators to give a more meaningful meaning and a more substantive meaning. But this is one of those times where really you don't need that extra in there, because it might be talking about he took not on the nature, but really it means just as well, for verily he took not on angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. The word take on here, it means to grasp or to lay hold of. And it can mean to take and to grasp or to help or to hinder or to fight against. And so obviously here, as it's speaking of the Lord, that he laid hold, he took hold of man with the idea of helping us, because as I've already said, the angels sin, or a portion of them did, and mankind sinned. But what this verse is telling us, that only God is offering only salvation to one of these entities. Really, when you look at this passage, the way I like to look at it, he took on not angels to take on. I like to look at it in a legal sense, like a lawyer will take on a case. And that's exactly what this idea is that Jesus did not take on the angel's case where they needed salvation. But when he saw you and me, he said, I am willing to take this case on. And I know that I can win this case and I can redeem and reconcile humanity back to the Father. So once again, the only personalities that you see alluded to are the angels and mankind. So we know that these UFOs and these sightings is not human. So really, there's only one other choice where these things and where they're coming from. Now, this is Rich Goldeyes in theology, but I hope that it'll make sense to you as we get a little farther in to our teaching. So anybody have a comment thus far? All right, I give you a chance. Let me take you to a portion of scripture where I came up with what you know what I believe that the UFOs and all of these sightings are. I believe it's demons. I believe it's demon activity. I believe that wholeheartedly, and we'll get into this a little bit more. But let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. And really, you could read the entire chapter because here Ezekiel is introduced to angels, their appearance, and some of their personalities, some of their properties, some of their characteristics, and many other things about them. And so when we read some of this, you're going to say, man, they're talking about a UFO here. That's exactly. And so even though that in Ezekiel, God is introducing Ezekiel to godly angels, those that have remained faithful unto him, yet when you look at these characteristics, there's nowhere in the Bible that indicates that just because the angels sinned, that they lost their properties, they lost their capabilities or their abilities that God gave them. Look at man. Man is sin, but yet look at what even man that is unsaved, how smart he is and some of the inventions that he's come up with and things that he has built. So even though man is sin, he is still retained his wisdom, his knowledge, his capability. The only thing is he's separated from God. And so I believe that these angels, the description here is of godly angels, yet the angels that have fallen away from God, they have retained their properties, capabilities, but the only thing is they have lost their relationship with Almighty God. So let's pick up our reading at verse 12 and see if you don't think this sounds like UFOs. And they went, everyone, speaking of the cherubim, seraphims that God is describing to Ezekiel, and they went, everyone, straight forward, whether the spirit was to go. They went and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearances was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one will upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And they went, and they when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. Now, there's more that we could read there, but I just want to focus upon this here. First of all, the Bible gives us indication about the appearance of these angels. And you'll notice right off in verse 13 that God uses in his description brightness and lights and so forth. He talks about coals of fire. He talks about a lamp. And then he talks about lightning. Now, in most of these sightings, what is that which they see? They see lights. It's lights is what gives it away most time at night, sometime in the day. Sometime they see craft, but mostly it's lights. And even some of the more recent sightings have just been little bleeps of light that is going at extraordinary speed. And so notice these lights here. And I don't know if the Bible in mentioning these had any indication of differentiating between them, but certainly you and I can see the difference in these three things. First of all, he said, the appearance is like burning coals of fire. If you look at a burning coal or an ember that's in a live fire, you know that the light oscillates. It gets bright and then it gets dim. It gets bright and it gets dim. If you've ever seen some of the sightings of these lights, that's exactly what you see. They become bright, and then they oscillate and become less bright. And then notice he said not only the appearance of coals of fire, but the appearance of lamps. Now, as far as the people of this day, the brightest light that they could have would be a lamp. So it's speaking of the brightness of these angels. And so once again, when you see these sightings, not only do some of the lights oscillate, but a lot of others are very extremely bright. And then it goes on and it talks about fire went forth from lightning, and the light was as lightning. That speaks to me as the light is here and then it's gone. The light is here, it's over here, but then it goes out. It's back over here and it goes out. So when you really think about it, that really accurately describes these UFOs. And that's why that I believe that they are fallen angels and they are demons. So not only their appearance, but notice their acceleration. He says in verse 14, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. What he's describing here, you got it, George, that they went from the farthest horizon of the east to the farthest horizon to the west. They ran, but when they came back, they were back in a flash as lightning. And so it's describing the speed of these things. And you know that when you look at it, that the movement of these things, they're not even according to the laws of physics. They break the law of physics. There's absolutely nothing known to man that can move with that kind of speed and retain its form, its shape, and its size. So he's talking about its appearance, its light and fire and lightning. He talks about its acceleration of how fast that it can go. And then starting in verse 15 and 16, he talks about their agility. Now, we've all heard Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of a wheel. What in the world does that mean? Well, just exactly what it says, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. It's speaking of a gyroscope. It's speaking of a ball, something that can roll, something that is round. That's what it's making reference to. And did you notice that the Bible also said that in verse 12, and they went every one straight forward. And some of the other passages, it says in verse 17, and they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. In other words, there was no need for them to turn, because every direction that they were headed was forward for them. You know, you take a ball and you lay it on the floor, or you lay it on a surface, and you can roll it, and however you roll it is forward for that ball. Now, we know that in automobiles and even bikes or whatever, you have to turn around, you have to back up. But on a ball, a gyroscope, a wheel in the middle of a wheel, it rolls. And so it's given the indication of the agility of these creatures, that they're able to turn on a dime and any direction that they are going. They don't have to turn around. They just fly in that direction, and that's the direction that they are headed. And we can talk. Well, let me just kind of pause here and give somebody an opportunity to make a comment. Anybody? Comment? Question? Agree? Disagree?
Designs that they show at where they use magnetism, they're round and sphere.
Exactly right.
Magnetism, they can go all different directions on a split of a second.
Good point.
Like you said.
Absolutely.
Now they have all these drones and things like that too, but so some could be the demons and some could be man trying to copy that.
Right. Anybody else? All right. I told you this was going to be different. So, if they are demons, why are there more sightings now? Why has the sightings become more intensified? And I agree wholeheartedly. You know, the devil, he's dumb in a lot of ways, but he's smart in other ways. And the devil knows that he has absolutely nothing going for him. And if he's going to get anybody, I mean, let's face it, who's going to say, you want to go to hell with me? You want to spend eternity in hell with me? Nobody's going to by that. So he's got to use deception and lies and deceit to get individuals to buy into his program and into his particular agenda. And so you'll notice that initially the devil's not going to show his cards. He's going to come as an angel of light. He's going to come as somebody that is spiritual. That's how that he came to Eve when he came to her. He came to her quoting Bible verses and quoting things of God. And this is what God has said. And then when he came to Jesus quoting Bible verses. And so the devil knows that if he shows his real true colors initially, where a group of people knows God, maybe not even saved, but has a intellectual idea of who God is and salvation like this nation used to be. You know, it used to be no matter who you talk to, they had a rudimentary knowledge about Almighty God. But now the majority of people that come in and get saved has known nothing about the Bible. They know nothing about Almighty God, about salvation. And so I believe that when there is a nation such as this nation that was built upon God, that the devil had to use deceit, lies, and so on and so forth to try to trip people up. But as people get further and further and further away from Almighty God, then the devil can show his real side without being really detected. And so I believe wholeheartedly, sister, that is why that there are more, that before he couldn't show his colors, but now he can and not be detected, because this nation is so godless. This nation doesn't have a clue. But the real reason, you know, in my mind, that there are more sightings as well, that the godless nation has provided it, and even around the world. But I believe that one of the reasons is we are so close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that as you go to the book of Revelation, that there is the false Trinity, there's Satan, there's the Antichrist, and there is the false prophet. But you also notice that there are many demons that are involved during that time and their activities. So they're all interrelated as such. And so, you know, as John tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and 2 and 3, he talks about that. He said, "You have heard of the spirit of Antichrist that is to come." But he said, "I tell you, the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well right now." And if it was alive and well during John's time, it certainly is alive and well now. So I believe that the reason there are more UFOs and more sightings and more things going on is because they are preparing the path and preparing the way for the Antichrist. Honey?
I'm just thinking about, too, you know, the devil will transform himself into an angel of light.
Yes.
And so, and then those lights in the sky and all of that, I mean, it just shows where the devil is today.
Right.
And how he's trying to deceive others. Just because it is a bit of light does not mean it's the truth.
Exactly. Anybody else? You know, I when you think of the enemy, I read one time where somebody said that the lies of the devil about himself, but the biggest lie that the devil has for man about himself is that he does not exist. So you see, the devil doesn't care what he thinks, what you think about him, or even if you believe in him. But he's very comfortable if you do not believe in him. And so I believe the same way with UFOs. As long as the devil can convince people that these sightings is some other living entity, or if it's an attack militarily of aliens out there of a higher life form than what we as humans are, then how are we going to try to protect ourselves? With the military, with man-made weaponry. But the devil knows that this is not a physical warfare, that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness. And so if he can get us distracted as to what these really are, then he knows that he can go along his merry way, unmolested, unchallenged, and unattacked. And so I believe that that's why that he's very happy that we believe that it is alien life and it's not demonic activity, because he knows that the only power against him and against them is a child of God filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That is who he truly fears.
Right.
And then ultimately, that these lies that he propagates and perpetrates is really to try to destroy the people of God. You know, Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, he's talking there about the end times. He said that in the last days that some shall depart from the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And who are the some then that he's talking about that's going to depart from the faith? It's Christians, people that already knows the faith. And that's why that your pastor and I have another thing that we agree on, that I hear so much of these modern day prophets that are prophesying about a great revival and many people coming to the Lord in the last days. I do not see it that way. I believe that there's going to be a great falling away. And I really believe even now that in the last 20 years, just look at how much ground the church has lost. And compromise and agreeing with all of this woke agenda. And you look at denominations that are splitting now over this issue and so on and so forth. So that's what the devil ultimately is trying to get people that have a relationship with God, to get them to doubt who God is, what God is able to do, what God has done in their lives, and get them to turn their back upon God. And so he's doing a really good job of that. But thank God we can stand. I was telling your pastor, you know, I did a study on the former rain and the latter rain. And a lot of people look at the latter rain as the rain that's going to bring this great revival. But that's not what the latter rain was for. The former rain, it was literally actual rainy seasons back at that time. And the former rain was the rain that coincided with them planting their crops. And they would plant their crops and the former rain would come and establish those crops and get them established, get them growing, get them well on their way to maturity. But then the latter rain is they would go between, and there would be dry seasons, and the crop that had already been planted and had been growing would be threatened of dying out because of lack of water. And so the latter rain was not to establish a brand new crop, but it was given so that the crop that had already been planted would be able to be sustained and be able to stand and to be able to be found faithful when the harvest time came. And so I believe that the latter rain is given for you and me so that we can be faithful even in these last days, and that we can stand faithful, that when Jesus comes, he will say, well done, you're a good and faithful servant. That we did not buy into this great falling away, and we said, I'm not going to be a partaker of it. And the only way we can be able to do that is through the power of God and through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of this latter rain. So that kind of coincides with that. And so, church, you know, these UFOs and demonic activity and more demonic activity, I guess I want to close off with saying that there's no need for you and I to fear. We have nothing to be afraid of. These demons fear us more than what we should fear them. They're actually afraid of us. Remember the sons of Sceva, and the one tried to exorcise them, and the demons spoke to them and said, you know, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? And so if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they fear you. Jesus told his disciples as he sent them out in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, one of the most powerful passages of Scripture and promises that's given to us. Jesus said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, yes. And all of the power of the enemy, the devil. Yes. And nothing by any means shall be able to harm you.
Hallelujah.
You know, when I look at that, Jesus is saying, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Those are the big guns of the devil, whatever they may be, that when he launches a huge attack upon us, trying to take us out, God is saying, even the biggest guns of the devil, I've given you power over them. And then he said, all of the power of the devil. And when I think about that, I think of all of the power of the devil, all of it together, that you can take every attack that he can bring against us and put them all into one, and we still are victorious, yes, over them. And then he said, by any means, nothing by any means. You know what that means? That means no matter where it comes from the devil, no matter where it attacks in your life, it doesn't matter the degree that it attacks in your life, Jesus said, it shall not harm, yes, you.
Hallelujah.
And I love the way that Jesus says, you shall tread on serpents and scorpions. I don't know about you, but when I see a poisonous snake and a scorpion, I don't go walking on them.
Right.
I don't go stepping on them. But Jesus said that's the very thing that you'll be able to do. And when you follow this treading of walking upon the devil, it's a very interesting study, even in and of itself. It really goes back to Jesus, where God the Father was talking to the devil after that man had sinned, and he's given out the consequences of sin to even the devil himself. But he said this in Genesis 3:15. He said, I have put enmity. I have put this great divide, this great enemy spirit between your seed and the seed of woman. But he said, the seed of woman is going to bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel. Notice his heel. So Jesus is the one that tread all over the devil at Calvary. Jesus is the one that walked all over the devil and said, "Devil, I'll show you here at Calvary who has the authority and who has the power, and it surely isn't you." And then you can follow that through that when the children of Israel were ready to go in and possess the land, you remember Joshua was chasing after five kings that were part of the enemy, and they ran into a cave. And Joshua said, "Seal the cave up." And then they trapped them inside the cave. And then when the victory had been won, they came back and they opened the cave up. And he brought these five kings out. And presumably, the Bible doesn't say, but presumably they were tied up and they were laid face down or maybe face up on the ground. And do you remember what Joshua told his generals to do to those kings that were laying on the ground? Put your foot on their neck. And so you know that even now when somebody stands over a defeated enemy and they put their foot upon their chest or upon their head, upon their neck, it speaks of complete authority and power over that fallen enemy. And so when Jesus says, "You shall tread," you're going to put your foot upon the neck of the devil and of every demon of hell. And they will fear you just like they feared Jesus when he walked upon the face of this earth. So walk in your liberty and walk in your freedom. And so when you see these signs and you see these UFOs and you see all of these bright lighted sightings, just let yourself know and be reminded that I've got power over every one of them. I have authority over every one of them. They cannot touch us as a child of God. So praise God. Aren't you glad for Calvary? Aren't you glad for Jesus and all that he has done? Praise God, praise God. Anybody have a comment or a question or anything else? Yep, Pastor.
My wife alluded to the frequency of this alien activity with wickedness. But while you've been studying this, my mind has been, you know, we've been to Africa and we've seen it's a dark continent.
Right.
And there's a lot of demonic activity on the ground. But, and I know that this is, I wouldn't even know how to try to find an answer to this, but where my thought is going, you know, those people are suppressed with, and I hate to say this, but almost a lower education, let's put it that way. So that keeps them suppressed, but here in our country, or, you know, England or Canada, China, Japan, where intelligence is really superior, and science doing things that you know, we really question, and I've even, you know, you never know what they really have developed and things like that. And so, it, you know, along with the wickedness, but along with the intelligence of man, this is also, I see, a window of opportunity for them to manifest themselves, because I've heard a lot of people say, "Oh, that's just something our government is developing.
Yeah.
It's not telling us about it."
Yeah.
You know, so my mind just kind of went that way, that this is also a good open door for them to start making themselves known, because our intelligence is
greater than it's ever been on the planet.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. I agree wholeheartedly.
Even in the Garden of Eden, what's the first thing that the devil tempted Eve with? Is to be like.
Yeah.